You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
The Around the NFL Podcast. Are hungry for a 50 burger.
I'll take a regular burger. From the Chris Wessling Podcast Studio, it's Around the NFL. I'm Dan Hansis. I got heroes here, Greg Rosenthal, Mark Sessler. It is the official Week 5 preview show, draft edition. Sessdog won't say no to a burger no more.
No, I'd have one. I mean, but also 50 burger, we've already experienced in the first 4 weeks of the season a 70 burger.
It's passé.
So are we going to take it down a notch? We're going to accept less.
And people send it my way, Greggy, now, because I've hit out against next gen about 21 miles per hour being the top speed. And it's like, well, surprise me. Reek Woolen chasing down a ball carrier this past week hit 22. And I know that's supposed to impress me.
Mm-hmm.
And it does. Beautiful athlete, that Reek Woolen. When did you go from Tariq to Reek, by the way?
This offseason.
I missed that, and then everybody started doing it, and now this was my first maiden voyage of Reek Woolen.
Why does it annoy me? It's his choice, but it's like, how many players are going to change their names? Like, when I start to understand who they are, then they go in another direction, down a different stream.
In 1992, I was 12 years old, and I had gone by Danny Hansis to that point.
Wow.
And I went to...
Made the shift.
I went to my mom. I said, Mom, I think I want to go by Dan. And she rubber stamped it. And I'll always love her for that.
So you were 12.
But was it hard at school? Did they not catch on for a while?
I don't remember the branding being difficult. I feel like it happened.
It's a campaign. Yeah. You know, you got to get the teachers involved.
Your dad still hasn't really gotten totally out.
Well, my family.
Danny.
My family didn't transition, but they don't have to do that. But my point is, 22 miles per hour is great. I want to see somebody with the ball in their hands at 22 because it's different.
I think you're right.
Pull out sprint, chase it down.
Right. You're right.
Is impressive.
I like that you keep issuing new demands. Like we understand that when that happens, you'll need 23.
When Bijan Robinson, and maybe he has to be on a different team, hits the open field on a breakaway and he's going 22.
Are you impressed that Greg runs 12 miles an hour?
Yes. For a man of his age?
That's great. Yes.
I mean, he saw me on the softball field. I was getting first pretty fast.
I think one of the reasons why the Shield was so successful is we had many types of players, which every roster, no matter the sport, and Greg was that scrappy, pesky, slap it through the hole, take the extra base.
Yeah, it was like
jack of all trades defensively. You were a value add for us, and I thank you for that.
I appreciate
it. It's a great one-year signing, right? I believe that was a one-year deal.
All right, this is, like I said, the draft edition around the NFL, week 5 already, and let's get to it. The first overall pick is presented by DraftKings. I'm going to surprise you guys because it's not a corker of a week in terms of matchups. There's no Bills Miami here. Good job by Greggy with the way things fell for him. He was able to take a no doubter. So I'm looking up and down this list, and I'm saying, what's the game that I most want to watch? And this is going to be a surprise because one of the teams barely squeaked out their first win last week. But the first overall pick will be Chiefs at Vikings. And I'm going to tell you why. First of all, I always have a soft spot for the Vikings and Kirk Cousins. I just enjoy watching them. They're not, they may not be good, but they're never boring. And you have a Chiefs team coming off a battle here against the Jets on Sunday night, where, and you saw the on social media, it was floating around there. That was the first game ever where Patrick Mahomes was outplayed, and they had different metrics for what that means to be outplayed. And it was Zach Wilson. So, you know, Mahomes, it doesn't sit well that that was the stage he was on, and that's how he performed, even though they won that game with some help from the officials. My analogy here, the Vikings, and by the way, this is a Chiefs laying 4.5 and a 53 over under. And that's part of my point here. The Vikings are like a big, dumb golden retriever. They're cute and they're fun to play with, and they're and in general you like to hang out with them, but they also do stuff like relieve themselves in the house or chew up things when they're bored.
Right.
And make bad decisions, run away a lot, and it's just like, oh my God, this thing is so dumb, but it's cute and it's fun to have around. And the Chiefs are like this professionally trained German Shepherd. And it's been through battles. It's been tested. It knows when to attack. It knows when to behave. It's beautifully trained. I like the idea of the Chiefs going into Minnesota, into this environment where you have this big dumb retriever running around all over the place and drawing out a little bit more excitement out of the trained German Shepherd. And let's have some fun, and let's throw the ball around the yard, and let's have a nice shootout in Minneapolis between the Chiefs and Vikings.
And you got Tony Romo on the call. That adds a little.
I like that too. Nance and Romo with Tracy Wolfson.
And it's not a surprise to me.
Romo on Patrick Mahomes. That's a new concept.
But the thing about the Chiefs is they're quite different though this year. So I find that compelling. I know you like, for instance, Mark, the Rams are like, they have a different feel to the Rams than they've had
sure,
the best.
Packers.
I know the Chiefs aren't quite there because it's Mahomes and it's Andy Reid, but they are rather different. I mean, the receiver issue is an issue. Travis Kelce has had a relatively slow start to the season. I think their most dynamic wide receiver is a gentleman named Rashi Rice, who on a team like Minnesota would be the number four receiver. So it's like they're really not that talented in terms of their wide receivers, but their fans really think this is the best defense we've ever had. Are they, though? I mean, they weren't great last week. Like, this is a good test for them against a good Minnesota offense. And more importantly, I think long-term for the Chiefs, I really love the way they ran the ball against the Jets, the way they've run the ball the last couple of weeks. We know the offensive line is good, and seeing the Chiefs be able to run the ball in key spots is a little different with Pacheco than they have been throughout the course of the Mahomes era. I know Pacheco was a big factor last year. He's an even bigger factor this year, and I think that's where you can get after this Vikings defense, which is improved this year. They're not the total sieves that they were a year ago.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, like, so the Chiefs have six players with 100-plus receiving yards. From one side, one POV, it's like, wow, they're versatile. They're spreading the ball around. They've got a lot of different ways to move it. From another angle, it's like, this is kind of part two of the post-Tyreek Hill world, where last year they deserve and received a ton of credit for figuring it out, winning the Super Bowl, and it was without a true star wide receiver. It was like a patchwork, a group of guys. It feels a little less effective through the air this time. I mean, I thought he threw a terrible interception last week, Mahomes, but then everyone like freaks out when that happens. It's like, he's still allowed to do that. And I think they can work their way through the mistakes, and I think they'll probably look a little different even a month from now than they do. I like the golden retriever thing. The Vikings vibe that way to me. I don't think that Bryce Young felt that way when Harrison Smith was coming at him about 162 miles an hour and blew him up three times.
Hey, Bryce, you know, feel it.
Well, that's a different guy. Yeah. No team in the league blitzes more than the Vikings, but I don't think that matters against Mahomes. He's proven that doesn't matter.
I'd be careful with that against Mahomes, but being aggressive is good too.
That's who they are on the floor. So I really do think this defense has a different kind of energy to it. They're attacking. This is a matchup that doesn't help in that situation. It helps against Bryce Young with a terrible offensive line and he can't see the field. It's not so helpful when Patrick Mahomes, who I think in the last 2 years has added, like, he always was a good scrambler. But what we've seen in the last season and to start this year, his work on the ground is like this whole another level up aspect of Mahomes that makes him so dangerous, like especially on third and long. Especially in the red zone. It's like he's getting better, really?
Well, I don't think they planned on this. It's just been necessary. But you're right. He's the most valuable rushing quarterback in the league right now. according to QBR. And I get it because every time he runs the ball, it's a first down. And that's part of how they measure it. But his yards per game, it's way higher than it's ever been. And I know it was against Carolina, who's had some struggles defensively. But I was really encouraged by the way the Vikings blew open holes in the running game. Wow, they looked really in sync last week. And Madison ran well and Akers ran well. And they added some new elements to their running game. And I think that's the way you can slow down the Chiefs. So if that's consistent, then this is a pretty good offense that the Minnesota Vikings. I think you got a good one.
And we knew that, right? Like, we knew that this is, we didn't they know they games. Were going to repeat last
the
year.
The running game, I was starting to have my doubts. And last week, they really, I think they were like 6-7 yards per carry. They were really good.
Yeah. And I'm with you. Like, the idea that Kansas City's defense is way better this year, I'm kind of into your theory you've been kind of putting out there the last couple weeks, Greg. Like, defense, it's so matchup dependent. And like a quote-unquote good defense or a well-coached defense with skill players, they're going to make average and bad teams look terrible and then make your defense look great. But let's see what the KC defense looks like against Kirk Cousins when he's locked in and Justin Jefferson and Madison getting loose and these wide receivers that are doing things besides Justin Jefferson and TJ Hockenson, who's such a great fit for their offense. I love this game. Can't wait to
watch it, guys. Before we move along,
Oh, Eric. Wow. Hey, Eric, how are you?
Hey, everybody. I'm over
Eric. How's it done, by the way?
It's doing good. I was talking to you the other day about it. It's the human body's pretty crazy.
Yes,
it is growing back. It's looking normal.
It's
but what about the sci-fi aspect of it?
Nothing gnarly. Nothing too crazy. It's kind of upsetting. I know. It feels a little weird.
Have you caught anybody? You know, their eyes drifting.
No, because I mean, just based on what it was like to start, you saw the picture. How they look mangled. I mean. Right. It just looks like I have.
But you know how people talk, like when the word was trickling through the office that, Eric, you know, he works with the podcast team. Great guy, you know, sneaky, good looking. And all this. Like, did you see, you hear about his thumb? He lost half his hand. Like, you know how the people talk. So have you noticed anybody kind of just drift?
No, I think news has spread that's like, hey, he doesn't have a nub. So it's, I'm not as cool anymore. But before we move along in the draft, guys.
Wait a minute.
Good check-in.
But have human beings changed? Like, you literally are a human where your thumb is growing back? I've never heard of this before. Like, did Van Gogh's ear grow back? Like, there's a lot of examples of, like, losing body parts. They're not like, oh, then suddenly 2 months later, ears return. Mm. Like, I need to see it.
I think I had enough of it remaining to kind of just make up for the lack
of. Are you casting doubt on Eric's story?
I it's an area where I'd like to have an eyewitness, like, you know,
I mean, I have some good pictures.
I have a picture I could show you.
Well, we'll deal with that offline.
I think on balance, Van Gogh chopping off his ear was good for his career.
Well, we probably don't
his legacy.
There's no medical follow-up on that.
He got a lot of pop,
Not the worst thing for Eric.
I don't think it's... I don't think he was in a great place when he did that, Van Gogh, but that's fine. You're right. It was a nice career move. But
Okay. Before we move on in the draft, guys, that's what we're doing here.
Yes.
We do have somebody else who wants to weigh in on this Chiefs-Vikings game.
Has he come out of the darkness?
Hello, heroes. With the showman Nick starting us off 0-2 on the season, we decided, guess what? He gone.
He gone.
I know I have a Bengals hat on, but no, Eddie. They're not lockable at this point.
No.
Mackie sitting over here with his Tom Brady jersey on.
Love it.
I think this week we'll go with the new goat. Who are we going with, Mackie?
The Chiefs.
Patrick Mahomes, the new GOAT.
Lock it up!
All right. So Nick cast out of the big chair.
It's a performance-related business.
Wow. Phil and his great son, Mackie, we're in a fantasy league. Our kids are in a fantasy league with him. And Mackie, I think he's only about 12 or 13. I'm not sure how old Mackie is at this point. But he was giving me the business. On text this week, giving me grief, saying that his dad can't pay the rent because of the old rainmaker.
We've been warning you about that.
He's a real whistle. Remember,
come home to roost.
Have you thought any more about little Bucktooth Susie?
He also said, how come Nick got a code for NFL Plus and we didn't? I mean, he comes with the hard questions, and we're working on it.
Everybody looking for handouts these days.
That was the game of the week presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. New customers can bet just $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sports app and use code ATN. That's code ATN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL.
The second pick in the draft goes to Mark.
All right. You are right. It's an interesting landscape. And I kind of like it because I sometimes reach with my pick and then it's like, oh, it's a bad draft pick. Love. It's like, it's the game I want to watch. So what's the other measuring stick?
Okay,
here?
We got it.
All right. Anyways, I am going Carolina, who are getting 10 points in this game against Detroit. This Lions team, I told you last week, like I choose when I become organically interested in something and it's not when I'm told to. And a year ago, I was sort of, you know, we're making this thing, and it's like, I appreciate it. It was a logical team of ATL pick, but I like them now. Now I like them, and they're interesting to me, and I love who they are. They're a team to me from another generation on some level.
Welcome.
Yeah. Liked you two once Achtung Baby came. Yeah,
I know.
You're like,
I know the two of you will spin it in a way that you can walk around the hallways giggling at, but it's like, I literally am just.
There's no
you,
spinning. There's
I,
no spin.
I like them now because I like them. And I love the fact that, like, they've changed a lot to me on defense, especially. I mean, they are a team that is allowing 60 yards per game on the ground, best in the NFL. That tells me right there, check you later, Panthers. There's no way out for a low-octane Panthers offense that looked completely lost last week against those Vikings and made the Vikings defense look like a monster. I mean, they punished Bryce Young left and right. I never thought David Montgomery – I never liked what they did with their backfield, to be honest, when they got rid of Swift and, like, the rest of the crew. And you bring in David Montgomery, who I never was as big of a fan of as, like, some of our people in the building here. And, like, he was used like 32 times last week for 121 yards. The single biggest workload of the season. It works. They can run the ball. They got a great offensive line. Jared Goff right now is PFF's number 3 quarterback. I think that's fair. I think it's like we talked about it yesterday with Nick Shook and Key Index.
There you go, PFF. Nothing braggy there. That just makes sense.
It's a little escalated from who I think the player is, but like you got to base it off his actual performance this year. And it's like he's always fit in this offense, and I'm all right with him. It's like
Dalton was like number 5 for them last year, which is I think those types of quarterbacks do well with PFF guys that don't make mistakes and they throw
it
where they.
But Goff did not make mistakes down the stretch last year, and he's not made. And that was sort of his calling card under pressure. He'd start to see ghosts and create chaos and. I just don't see how the Carolina Panthers right now. I watched them last week, and it's just like they seem to be going in the wrong direction. And in fact, I think like I know you want to like grow Bryce Young. I'm concerned about where Bryce Young is at this point. And I think Andy Dalton would give him a better chance to win, but that's not what we're doing. Bryce Young on passes of under 10 yards has a 99.2 rating. Okay,
yes,
like that's what their offense is. Like a massive amount of their yardage and their completions are behind or at the line of scrimmage. On throws of 10 plus yards, his rating dips to 25.1. He's struggling downfield. They don't got a great cast of weapons. And I just don't see how you stop a Detroit team that right now feels like they're just a rock rolling downhill.
I thought that was Bryce Young's best game. I did go back to watch that one to see on the coaches film, just like, where's this guy at? And look, I don't think they were dominated. They had 4 drives of over 10 plays. 10, 11, 15, 15. And it just shows how unexplosive they are, that they're working so hard. Like at the end of the game, they need to score a touchdown and they go on a 7-minute drive to get in position for it. That ends horribly, where Bryce Young did absolutely look like a rookie. But I'm not that worried because I think he makes pretty good decisions. He looks comfortable in the pocket and the situation around him is so bad that I think that's been a little underrated. They are dead last in the NFL in run block win rate. They're maybe the worst running team in the NFL. What do you want to give a young quarterback, like a good running game? They are 26th in DVOA in terms of their defense. Their defense is terrible. Like, they're dead last in run defense as a defense. They can't get off the field defensively. And I feel like Bryce Young has taken everything, and he hasn't looked good, but I thought he looked a little better coming off the bye, where it's like he's come out better than some rookie quarterbacks where it's a fiasco. I think this is a very tough matchup, and it's ultimately not going to look good for him. But like long term, I'm not that concerned because the first month of a guy's career, it can lie to you. You know, like RG3 was way ahead of Russell Wilson and maybe even Andrew Luck that year.
All right, so hold on. Just so I don't get like a bunch of hot takers coming, I'm not ill-fading his career.
No, I know.
He's not been impressive. I want to point to one drive, and it's the whole offense. It's not just on Bryce Young. But they had a point where they had 7 shots inside the 8-yard line to generate points, and it was a hodgepodge of drops, incomplete passes,
right,
poorly thrown passes, field goal. And you're right, it took him a long time to get down there.
That's like, to me, that's partly coaching, because I think he's shown he can.
But we've been on the Frank Reich thing yeah, like all season. I think this is not Frank Reich, who's maybe a little over celebrated as like what he's going to bring to you out of the gate. Like, their offense isn't that creative. They're not doing a lot with Bryce Young that puts Bryce Young in a great place. And you're right, they don't have a ground game, and they're facing the best run defense.
Panthers had a real chance in that game last week. They were up 13-7 inside the Minnesota 30, and then Bryce doesn't hold on to the ball, leads to the touchdown, and then, you know, the vision and that stuff he's going to learn. But Harrison Smith is doing the same thing over and over again, and he's just not sensing. Harrison Smith is coming off the edge, flying, and that leads to the end of the game. But I also, yeah, definitely saw things. He does. Maybe this is just a me thing, but I don't like small quarterbacks.
I kind of, I'm with you. It's just hard to watch, you know?
He's extra small, I would say.
And he just feels, you know, that gets me nervous, but that's also not fair because, you know, he's been successful his whole life so far. But they even said during the telecast, like, hey, this isn't Alabama anymore. Like, when these guys are flying off the edge, they're not just looking to take you down. They're looking to take the ball away. So he's learning. And maybe he's not at the level where maybe C.J. Stroud is right now, or maybe it's more a situation and setup. But overall, yes, I thought there was progress last week. And I don't think he's by any means like a mate. Like, oh, my God, is this a Zach Wilson situation
or Trey Lance?
Like, I'm not there with him. But I think maybe he's suffering a little bit because the other young quarterbacks taken around him are doing well and jumping out early on.
That's how it works. But also, I mean, I'd say they're not in that game. They weren't in that game because of the offense. They're in that game because of a 99-yard pick six on Kirk Cousins and other various Vikings gaffes that put him in a position to score points.
And partly because they just kept the ball for so long, which is like, that's what I mean, where he's not going to wow you, and he's not there yet. And
but he's meant to wow us. That's the problem.
Right. This is a spot where, like, the Lions are out of the lock zone. What a world we're living in. That's got to be a first in the history around
ten.
The NFL. It's 10
Whoa.
Points. And the one thing I wish I had hit when I did the TNF recap with J.P. Acosta, who did a great job, was just, man, the way this Lions team has looked and the way Branch and Laporta specifically, who are just fantastic, have come out of the gates. And I think it's okay to raise your expectations already for Lions fans. Lions yes. fans were there, but we're now looking at them. It's like, it's okay to see this team and say they're like a top 7 or 8 team in the NFL.
They're a contender.
They can reasonably expect that, like, we have a great chance to not just make the playoffs, it's been a while, but to win a playoff game and to compete in the NFC. And man, even just winning a playoff game, I was talking to Cynthia Freeland, our friend Lions fan, like, mm-hmm. she was like, I think that would make me cry. I don't even need to get to a Super Bowl. If they win a playoff game, and I'm expecting them at this point to be at home and have a playoff game because I think they're going to win their division and maybe be favored in that game and win that game. And who knows after that? It's wild.
I would say, Dan, you get this as a Jets fan.
Yeah.
When the Browns beat the Steelers, like, yeah, they went on and was like just house money at that point. Like, to see them win that playoff game, you were waiting. I understand where Cynthia's coming from. Brian Branch, though, did not practice Wednesday. I just read that Amon-Ra St. Brown did not practice today on Thursday. Josh Reynolds is banged up, so it's not them at their full complement.
Unsolicited advice. You're a good enough team where if you go and arrest some guys, Branch limping all over the field last Thursday night, take care of business against the Panthers, and if you have to arrest a couple guys, do that. I feel that confident about Detroit right now because I don't think this has been, like, out of nowhere. Like, the defense, the thing I really love about what the Lions have done, and they've surprised me, and I think you mentioned the Jets and you mentioned the Browns. Before the season, I kind of was lumping the Lions in as these sad sack franchises that get their fan bases hopes up with a good close to a season, and then they fall on their face a little bit when the actual expectations go up. Instead, what Dan Campbell and the rest of this team have done, they've leveled up, and all the growth at the end of last season has now gone to the next level in this season, and that's a sign of a team that is really becoming a potential, as you said, real deal contender.
And Jameson Williams back. We'll see what happens with him.
Yeah, it sounded like he might not even play him because
not much at least
coming out of our injury. We'll see.
It might be premature, but I've already reached a stage where, like, we'll see what he gives them.
It's been a weird career.
Greg, you're up. Third pick.
All right, I am going to take a late game. I'm going to take Eagles coming across the street to the Rams. Eagles favored by 4.5. We got the Fox A team. Kevin Burkhardt, Greg Olsen. Rinaldi's in the house on a 405 game.
Hey, Rinaldi,
you don't see that too often.
You check out that commercial. He's playing against type that shows rain.
I think he's a. You talk about thespians that also just double as reporters. That's him.
It's like usually, Aaron Andrews doesn't even know what a 405. She's never had a 405 game before. This is different. But
I feel like this was either the first or second pick, but not a reach, Mark. You do what makes you happy.
I love this game. This
what did you take?
I was gonna take this game if I didn't take mine.
I liked to your strategy. I like to pick a couple games that I'm excited to see as the week goes forward. And this would fall. Plus I can see it out the window.
Yeah, that'll be a great shot of like Eagles fans.
Yeah, it'll be a lot
buying
of
beer fans. And going number one.
80% Eagles fans.
It'll be a lot of Eagles fans. Look, this is a great test for both teams. I actually think it's a great test for the Eagles defense, which has been little disappointing. But I think starting with the Rams, it's just a great test of this offensive line, which has been a pleasant surprise, and what they did last week in the run game, and the way that it's not that wide zone team anymore. They're more of a power running scheme now, and you're starting to see dividends. And then an even bigger test of this defensive line and this defense, which has held up just well enough to let the offense look great, because this Eagles offensive line and really both their lines week after week seem to be gaining momentum, and their offense played fantastic last week. And I just have a hard time seeing that this Rams defense can slow them down. And so when Cooper Kupp potentially returns for this game, we don't know, but he did practice according to McVay fully, even though they listed him as limited. They said he was doing everything. Is the Rams offense good enough? Because I really love this Rams offense. Is it good enough with Kupp to keep up in a total shootout? And I think they could. As long as that hip isn't a problem with Stafford, I think this game could be in the 30s, and then I'm loving life at 4.
This is why, so Jordan Rodrigue wrote like this awesome article about the fact that Sean McVay, who was married to wide zone forever, like has changed the ground game entirely to this gap scheme, and they lead the league in gap scheme run usage. And it's like that is just another like bullet point of like why this Rams team, which I had some Rams exhaustion. We live in LA; it's in your face all the time for a long period of time. It's like the stadiums.
I mean, you were exhausted before they even got.
It's not really.
They are very much not in our face.
It actually hasn't been post Super Bowl, but when they arrived. And we were in Culver City. Yes, it was. I think some of us were we wanted to welcome it more than others. I was a little resistant. This Sean McVay, though, like is doing the coaching job of the year right now. It's like I kind of think the team is like they're rebuilding, but they're here today. And I think this is like an incredible test, because if you get Cooper Kupp back, and I think the Stafford hip thing, I mean, if we're worried about a calf injury, like a hip injury could heat up at some point. And like, he couldn't walk after that thing really after last week. So
he
that's
says
a
he'll
huge
be fine, but he's talking about like adrenaline will get me through.
No, that's not good.
I don't like hearing that.
That's not
good.
I have major concerns about any professional athlete dealing with a hip injury, an older quarterback dealing with a hip injury. The guy is not mobile as it is. So you're going to potentially have a situation where that could be aggravated easily. So I have concerns about that. I love everything else about the Rams. I agree. I think Sean McVay right now is the coach of the year, front runner. It's very early. Greg doesn't like talking about awards this early, but I do. Because of what he's been able to do here, building this team on the fly. And
that's from DFF, Dan Football Focus.
Sure. I like that. Do you check that? Do you pay a premium for that, Greg?
I think we get a free account as
$39.99 a week. I charge. I do terrible business. It doesn't do anything. And all this talk. Remember all the talk? I know that they're not gangbusters, but remember all the talk about like, oh my God, this Los Angeles defense.
Right. Who are they?
They don't have anybody. They got Aaron Donald, a bunch of guys. So the fact that they've been able to be competitive week in and week out, and the offense has been very good, and now you have one of the top five receivers in the league. Hopefully that hamstring is right and they're playing this the right way. Love the game, hate the hip injury, and I just hope that's not something that's going to ruin their season.
Yeah, they came into this year. We talked about the 30 draft picks that they had or whatever. They had the 30 rookies because they had like 20 undrafted guys. And you think of who they're getting out of this class right now. Everyone knows Puka Nacua, one of the rookie of the year candidates. But they've got a guy in Steve Avila at guard that I think they believe is a future Pro Bowler who's already a plus starter. And then they have two starters on defense Kobe Turner, who's playing solid, and then a good odd rusher in Byron Young. That's four starters. That's a big-time rookie class, and they're going against the Eagles, who got a lot of attention for their rookies and the way Jalen Carter's playing. Like, these are rookies that have stepped in and kind of look like Pro Bowlers right off the bat, which is just wild. The Eagles got to clean up their red zone, though. They're one of the worst teams in the league, surprisingly, in the red zone on both sides of the ball. So give them
I think that will clean. That's the kind of thing that I just think. The new coordinator thing has helped, has had an impact. I mean,
they don't have Shane Steichen, yeah.
Right, I think we're finding out like how special Steichen was, and it's kind of like when Frank Reich left the Eagles, and it's like, was Frank Reich kind of the brainiac behind all this? It's like, I think it's a group thing, but like Steichen's loss affects them a lot. The one thing though, like when they've had these issues through the air, and AJ Brown blew up last week, but the ground game has been insane, and like I think that's the thing for the Rams. Like I look back at that Eagles drive went after the Commanders went down the field on that 14 play march last week, and the Eagles come back tied up at 7-7. But that DeAndre Swift touchdown, there's no one near him. He blasts into the end zone, and there's eight yards between him and anyone else. It's like they're better at that than anyone in the league. They have more yards to rush before contact than anyone else. And it's like, where does that stat come from? Like wide open gaps before someone in a second layer is finally touching you.
Last week, the storyline that people were trying to push was, what's wrong with the Eagles passing game? Then they threw the ball over the yard, and now it's like, the Eagles 4-0, but are they okay? It's like, I'm just not interested.
And we've been doing that.
Not interested.
Right, but their passing game was struggling.
Like, that's okay to, multiple things can be true. They were a mediocre passing
game. Yeah, but like, why are we nitpicking with this team? They're a juggernaut. They're figuring some things out early, but there are so many other teams with much larger pressing issues. The Eagles are just taking care of their business.
They were just so perfect during the regular season last year that it's like.
Maybe that's what it is.
Right.
But I just can't be convinced to get worried. They're just too talented.
No, and don't spend your time. DFF doesn't go down that road.
I wouldn't. Metrics.
We don't. All right, Greg.
All right, I'm going to take the Houston Texans at the Atlanta Falcons. Falcons favored by 2 at home. It's like, wow. I mean.
That's a lot of respect.
These teams aren't that close to me.
A lot of respect for a team that maybe hasn't earned such a thing.
I mean, 2 points at home, though, is telling you, we're saying we don't believe in you.
Okay. I teased this on Monday, meant to bring it up yesterday, but I mean, this Texans team, at what point do we got to talk about them as like a real team?
Now?
And check their schedule.
Maybe even a team of ATL. Because.
Whoa. Hey-o.
When I got home last Sunday night and I was thinking, if I feel like it, I'll watch a game when I get home. Sometimes I don't. Whatever. Felt like it. Which team did I want to go watch?
Wait, let me just picture it. Greg draws a bubble bath. He lights some candles.
Well, this actually, I'm glad you mentioned that,
because
that all reminds me of
myself.
Our friend Chris Wesseling.
He's a big chicken parm hero.
He loved to watch in a bath. He would talk about it quite a bit.
It's true, actually. Maybe that was buried in my psychology.
And he was the one that this was his big test of, like, what team is exciting him the most? Which team does he want to watch Sunday night? And Nick Wesseling. And just as I had had these thoughts of like, which team do I want to watch? You know what? I want to watch C.J. Stroud and Nico Collins. I want to see what's going on with them. I want to see them. I want to see them destroy a Steelers team.
Your family's like, haven't seen you in 14 hours. They're like, have a nice bath.
They're asleep. I mean, well, Emeka's not, but she's not interested.
Daddy, I have to go to the bathroom. It's an important go downstairs.
Nick, that night, or maybe it was the next night, texted me, the first team I want to watch right now is C.J. Stroud. And I was like, oh, is this a sign? Sign from I don't know where. That's the first team he wants to watch. And it's not just C.J. Stroud. First of all, 69-23 over the last 2 weeks against two good enough teams. Those are two more blowouts. I looked it up. 217-plus-point blowouts in a row. That's not easy to do. For instance, the Minnesota Vikings have not won a single game. Good team.
They're a big, dumb dog.
In 4 years, though.
Yeah.
In 4 years. Like, how many games have the Jets won by 20 points in the last handful of years? There aren't that many.
Franchise.
It's a weird example.
Yeah. Okay.
But my point is.
Use a different example. Once. Just one.
Well, the Vikings, I think, are a good one because they've been winning a lot of games. It's not easy to blow teams out. Like, this team might just be good. And when I look at Nico Collins especially, I want to highlight him. Like, I was not familiar with your work, young man. Mm. I mean, I did not know that he was a true one. He is a 6'4" giant that makes people miss in open space. Those guys who are like kind of the tall, thin profile, like an AJ Green type, they usually don't move that well in the open field. He is a true one, and you've got a true great quarterback. I'm into this team. They're going to win this game, by the way.
Yeah.
Come on.
And it's funny because they're like, when is it time to take them for real or whatever? And I'm just like, I was looking for, at home against the Niners, like some type of like real fun game. The Bills on the schedule. They have at Atlanta, home Saints, at Carolina, home Bucks, at Cincinnati. Okay, maybe, maybe, but we don't even know anymore. Yeah. Home Arizona, home Jaguars, home Broncos, wow, at Jets. The schedule at Tennessee, home.
These South teams,
Cleveland,
they all play each other in both conferences. The schedules are preposterously
this
favorable.
Is setting up.
That's like a 9-game carpet.
Yeah. I mean, this is setting up if Stroud continues to build on this as, yeah, one of the biggest surprises in the league and a double-digit win team. We're
Whoa.
Getting way ahead of ourselves. But,
no, but it's,
look at the schedule
yeah,
and look at the
matters.
Progress that we've seen in the first 4 weeks.
I don't think it's fluky. I think there's some things happening here, and it starts with the coaching staff that's like really well-picked and works well with the players here. D'Amico Ryans, like, I mean, I always kind of felt from the beginning like they finally found their guy after like 2 years of one-and-done chaos. They put it on the Jaguars. 366 yards. The week before, 389 on a pretty good Colts defense that I'd like parts of. 451 yards against the Steelers. And they haven't been running the ball that well. And they've had a ton of offensive line injuries. And I think part of the Bobby Slowick situation is that, and you see this, it's a Shanahan guy. I know that gets tiresome, but it's like you work with offensive line deficiencies and they have used those pass protection issues and turned around and add absolutely like a flood of screens and quick release passes that like mitigate that and put their rookie quarterback, unlike the one we just talked about, in a good situation.
And they got that run game going last week, finally.
They do. Here's the one thing. In this game, though, I think they're not perfect. They are 30th in the league in run defense. By some metrics, they're the worst run defense in the league. So if you're the Falcons, and the Falcons, to me, are backed up against a wall, they can only do one thing well. But if they're going to do it well, you do it well this week. Otherwise, I mean, I know where I was a month ago with the Falcons. Like, this to me is Arthur Smith's kind of like, are you going to acknowledge what we all see? We talked about this on Sunday night. Is this like another situation where Arthur Smith is kind of like George Bush saying like mission accomplished, like well to go, way to go, Brownie? Or it's like, can we acknowledge that there's more work to do here? And if you want this team that has a good roster of a chance, if Ritter is, you know, absolutely melting again, you've got Taylor Heinicke.
It's
give
funny.
It a
I love
shot.
It when he goes, way to go, Brownie. It's just like a great, great riff.
It's funny that you brought up GW, because I actually think about not GW on the aircraft carrier.
Yeah.
When I think of Arthur Smith and where he's at right now, I think of GW in the elementary school classroom. And somebody
that's
getting,
dark.
His, getting in his ear and telling him something that he needs to react to. And instead of acting, he's sitting.
Reading a children's book.
And he's ruminating, and he's wondering what he should do when it's very apparent he needs to do something.
Hmm.
But he's deciding to stick with his quarterback for now, and we'll see if that pays off and it makes him look smart and or.
Against, you know, a very famous Texans, you know, fan, George H.W. Bush.
And you, so right now you have Arthur Smith
always
reading
those games.
You have Arthur Smith reading the pet goat to his team.
Kind of
here on Thursday as they prepare for the
practice. Of George Bush content. Fun 2-2 game, but yes, I was feeling the Falcons coming into the year. You never know what's going to happen, and I guess stick a pin in it. But I'm thinking about the Texans here, team of ATL. Just
I think I have a nominee as well that I feel very good about, and that could be something that we tee up for down the road. Let's take a break, and then we will continue with the draft.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Hey guys, this is Matt Jones, Drew Franklin from the Fade This podcast. We got a great episode coming up. Picks in all the sports, football, basketball. We do them all, but here's a preview of this week's episode. Do you think it's more embarrassing to dye your hair or to have hair plugs?
I don't think either are embarrassing if you're not trying to conceal it and act like you didn't.
Okay, so you think if you just come out and go, I got hair plugs.
Yeah, like check out these hair plugs. I mean, don't just walk around, hey, stranger, I don't want you thinking this is natural. You know, but I mean,
do you have to do that with everyone you meet?
Some people try to act like they, you know what I mean.
Yeah, but I mean, like John Cena got him. You know, when John Cena came back to wrestling, he had a bald spot, and now he doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
you think he should be required in all interviews to say, look, by the way, I covered up my bald spot?
Yeah, I guess it's weird. I mean, you don't wear a sign or like put a sign in your yard, but.
All right. So what about toupees?
Those are the most obvious.
But let's say you're like Bill Self and you can get it to where it looks good.
His is magical. I don't even know if his is a toupee.
It is.
I think he went into the future and had a procedure we haven't even discovered yet.
And this episode was brought to you in partnership with DraftKings. To hear more, listen and subscribe to Fade This on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
All right, back to the draft. And we have, yes, a trade. You may recall.
Barely.
From last week.
We struggle to recall the terms, but we can't.
It's tough. It took about 10 minutes to work out the logistics of it before we started, but we did. And, yes, I have Mark's second pick as a result of the trade from last week. And with that pick sliding into Mark's spot, we essentially flip Mark. So I jump ahead of you one spot. And with that jump, I will take the Baltimore Ravens at Pittsburgh Steelers. I mean, come on now, Steelers. What are we doing? Where are we at?
We're not playing football well.
We are not protecting the quarterback. We are not calling a particularly aggressive scheme of offense. Our young quarterback is not playing with any sense of confidence and belief in self. They have playmakers, but I'm not seeing plays being made. The defense has showed up some weeks, and then other weeks, like last week against the aforementioned Houston Texans, they didn't really show up much at all. And the Texans did what they wanted with CJ Stroud using his precision passing and Nico Collins jumping off the screen. And it was just, you know, bad, 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 bad. And yet, with the Ravens coming to town, I feel like if there is a kind of circle the wagon situation with the Pittsburgh Steelers, a proud organization, a well-coached team overall, you can get on Matt Canada, and I wonder how patient if Mike Tomlin truly believes in the Steelers team as a team he thinks should be taking the next step this year, which I imagine he does. Does Canada get a free pass this year, or could a change come if this continues? Here's their scoring by week, by the way. They had 7 points week one. The Browns 26, but there was some defensive scoring in that game, as I recall, against Cleveland. Yes.
I'd have to go
set
check
them up in great spots.
They were not great on offense in that game.
I believe TJ Watt had a return in that game. The Raiders, they scored 23 in a win. They scored 6 in a loss to the Texans, and now they need to do something on offense. This is such an important week for the 2-2 Steelers against the Ravens, who look very good with Lamar Jackson doing his thing against Cleveland last week.
Yeah, this is one of those matchups. I'm not saying throw out the records, but to your point, it's a division matchup where Mike Tomlin's actually had a better beat on stopping Lamar than just about any defensive coach in the league. They've generally done well. They've generally won, and they've generally limited Lamar Jackson compared to other opponents. Now, the Baltimore running game now isn't just Lamar. It's really good with Lamar in the red zone, especially. Like, they're getting him holes to run in for touchdowns, but they're picking and choosing. It's the rest of the running game that's really been impressive to me. They're throwing a lot of different things out there, considering that they've had so many injuries, and it sounds like they could get Ronnie Stanley back this week, but now their right tackle, Morgan Moses, might be out. Gus Edwards was back last week. I think he looks good. Like, it doesn't matter who's been back there. Their running game can throw a lot at you, and when Lamar is the quarterback, it just gives you so many things to prepare for, and I loved what I saw out of Mark Andrews, too. So I think they're coming together. Mark Andrews didn't seem 100% at the beginning of the season. You're seeing a more complete Ravens offense, and that's going to be a lot for Tomlin and this defense to deal with.
Yeah, I know the Ravens largely were helped and coasted because Dorian Thompson-Robinson was not ready to play professional football a week ago. But what impressed me about them was how they started to heat up against a Cleveland defense we were, you know, correctly calling like a top five defense, if not top three, in the days prior. I saw like Melvin Gordon a big run. Like they're getting it from everyone, right?
When Melvin Gordon's popping off 20, that's a good sign.
A play got called back, but Justice Hill was shifty as hell.
Yep.
On like a 50-yard screen play. They're doing some things in that game.
They are, and it's like, so you know, here's the one thing I look at the AFC North, and I kind of think like we're getting from the AFC South in terms of like results and thriving and surprise teams and interesting teams what we thought we'd get from the North. And right now the Ravens are set up really well. Like this is a pivotal game. Mm. You've beaten both Ohio teams in your division. The Steelers have a quarterback that's banged up and, by the way, just not playing well. We all get that. Joe Burrow's calf could go in a moment. And I think Lamar Jackson and this offense are starting to find themselves. It's like I had a lot of questions about Todd Monken in general. Like it's like I'm not sure that's a wizard. We have a lot of like evidence he's going to come in and change everything. But they right now lead the league in like red zone touchdown rate, which is a problem for them at other times in the previous offense. Jackson is completing 80% of his red zone passes. So they're getting down there and they're scoring. And like, I like that about him. They're running the ball better. Odell Beckham returned to practice Wednesday. Rashad Bateman returned to practice Wednesday. Marlon Humphrey returned to practice Wednesday. So I also look at a team that like for 3 years in a row, I know Lamar Jackson's injury killed them two seasons running. But outside of that, like they deal with injuries as well as any team in the AFC. They find a way around it.
And the Steelers are quite banged up for this game. They're going into the bye. We should mention, you know, we last talked about the Steelers Monday night. We thought Pickett was going to be out at least this week, and he's practicing, and he's saying he's playing. So
good.
I don't think that's good. I think Mitch Trubisky would be an upgrade. Pickett.
Well, that's why I had the question mark.
Right. Man. Yeah. I mean, to answer your question, and they're going to be short. Pat Freiermuth is not expected to play, who's been consistent for them. And a few of their offensive linemen, Okorafor and James Daniels, are out of practice. And it looks like they'll make that switch at left tackle. Dan Moore is hurt, although they have their first-round pick to insert there, which a lot of fans have been wanting. He has not looked comfortable, and the Ravens' defense throws a lot at you. Roquan Smith, to me, is an all-pro right now. He would be my all-pro linebacker. He to me, has been... You know, behind Lamar, the MVP of that team every week, he is really making great.
And I don't, I've seen it before. I don't enjoy watching it, but I understand how it happens. But it doesn't make it any fun to watch when you could tell when a struggling young quarterback does not have the trust of his offensive coordinator, and the offensive coordinator then changes the game plan, and everything is underneath. Everything is short. They're not.
Yep.
They're not pushing the ball downfield because they're trying not to make mistakes. And that's what I felt like I was watching last week against Houston with Pittsburgh. And Canada's in a tough spot because I think he believes that Pickett might not be seeing the field well, or he doesn't, because of the pass rush, it's causing them to have to work in a way maybe that's not conducive to the way the roster is built. But none of it is fun to watch. That's the other thing of it. They've been a slog on offense.
You know what throws me a little bit? Because it's like, I wonder sometimes with these quarterbacks when you come in as a rookie, because I can think of like Baker Mayfield in 2018 with what he did, that lone, isolated group of games. Like, I thought we had the next Russell Wilson. I thought he was going to be a star. He looked fantastic. But then, like, they change offenses, and he fell off a cliff, and the whole offense...
Mac Jones kind of similar. His best year was
Mac,
a rookie.
But Mac Jones walked into chaos in year two. But that's, you're right. Like, you change things. But this is the same coordinator. And I thought Pickett, like, you know, he's not a physical, like, dominating specimen. But he did things well, and he had a knack to come back in games. And this year, like, it's completely opposite. And... it's funny because I think Canada, like, it's easy just to pick on him week after week, but he actually, like, got very angry at the CBS broadcast.
Spiro Dedis.
Right, because they took a quote from him in a conversation that basically sort of suggested that Canada said, we are not an offense that's built to come back. And what he was actually talking about, and by the way, that seems true, so that's the problem. It's like there's evidence there. But he was talking about the late in the Niners game. They weren't built to come back in that game the way that was. Mm. But that said, like, Canada's under so much fire, and I think, like this is the... I've always felt like, no matter what happens in Pittsburgh, Tomlin's going to get them out of there. They're going to win 9 games, and there's going to be hope for next season. It's like, this is your argument to just ignore the preseason, because I got sold down a river on this, and I look like a rube, but there's a bunch of people on the same raft with me.
You guys want to hear my Spiro Ditas impression? I've never tried.
Oh, I'm just please, yes, sir.
Clowney in the backfield, and he's buried.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good. I liked it.
Yeah. I think all play-by-play people came from like a certain planet somewhere. Like, don't they all sort of like, you know.
What a name on that Ditas, huh?
Cloudy, by the way, I just checked the PFF ranks. You don't want to hear this. Who's top 10 in pressures this year? Oh. It's Jadeveon Clowney. Nice little pickup by the Ravens. Nice little pickup.
Well, I predicted that.
So having a nice
season. Get off my steps.
Having a nice season.
I said he would go there, and they would find a way to yep. finally unlock him after years of disappointment. He's also a bad teammate.
I mean, oh, go, stop.
Go have your fun. What? He is? He quit on his last team?
Well, last team, they weren't happy with him, but he had a nice game against them last week. Just saying.
Well, are you saying that he's had a pro career that's lived up to expectations?
No.
He was touted as like Lawrence Taylor.
No. He's always been a good starter. Like he's actually better than the average number one overall pick. That would be my take. Hmm. Barely, but better.
This year.
In 10 years, have one season where you have 10 sacks to be
but also,
hyped up as a Hall of
and
Famer.
And also, you walked out on, I know, and it's like, oh, it's like now you're with the division rival. You walked out on your team.
This all came from my.
Wait
he's
till,
buried.
Wait till things start to go wrong. Then we'll see what happens with Jadeveon Clowney.
I kind of got sucked in there because, Greg's going a little off playbook with an impression.
Yeah.
But then it dovetailed into like Greg dragging us into this vortex, this Clowney vortex.
He's smart that way.
So now I feel like I wish I didn't hear the impression. And it was the thing I was so excited about.
Tough sitch.
Let's try to get the show back. Because now it's gone. But it's not over. Mark, you're up. This was we flipped picks based on last week's blockbuster trade, and so it's your pick.
Yeah.
I just one real quick thing?
Absolutely.
I think Pittsburgh wins. How about that? Wow.
I kind of do too.
I've been watching these Tomlin teams forever, and I predict a monster defensive effort.
I do too.
I don't know about this offense, but TJ Watt getting after it, having a huge game, and making a play that changes the.
And if they did, they'd be tied for the division lead. And if they don't,
they're
way behind, and the Steelers or the Ravens would have a 3-0 record. They are 4.5 point underdogs, the Steelers at home.
Good job,
if Dan was right, he could really make some rain.
Well, that's not my territory, and based on last week,
I'm taking the Ravens. I'm taking the Ravens.
Clear skies.
All right. Wait, Mark. Wait. Nope, I had nothing else to add. Go ahead.
The look on your face, I thought you were doing something else right there. I don't know what was
I did have something. Why? Okay. What did you think I was doing?
I don't know. I'm glad you didn't do it. I'm going to go. I want to see the team that last week everyone is down on, and like they didn't live up to the test. Can they come back? Can they show us who they really are after a beating in their own division, the Miami Dolphins?
Mm. Oh, it's another Mark Sessler. Let me pick the blowouts week.
Giving up 11 to the Giants? Well, that's what, you know what? That's what I love about it.
It's everyone, like I got a bird to catch to London. I want only blowouts.
Everyone assumes it's going to be
another
rocking
chair Sunday for
I'm
Sessler.
I'm not going to do what you think I'm going to do.
I did four games last week. I did everything you said I couldn't do. So.
Here's your purple heart. Go ahead.
I honestly want to see how they bounce back. I think this obviously is
would it tell you much because the Giants have been maybe the worst team in the
league. Guess I'm more thinking that like to your Steelers Ravens thing.
Yeah,
Steelers have looked like a massive disaster. There doesn't seem a lot of hope. The Giants have been a mega disaster, an embarrassment, like a team that went to the playoffs, and it's like, was that actually just the biggest mirage we've ever been witness to in the last 5 years of the NFL seasons? And I think it might be based on how they're built right now. Their offensive line is an absolute mess, but there's a little bit of controversy in Miami that I kind of like because like they got fried by the Bills last week. And then
Miami.
This week, Dolphins players were saying, you know, they're still whenever this happens, I always see little chinks in the armor and wonder where we'll be like 8 weeks from now. Dolphins players sort of saying that with this Vic Fangio defense, that there's still a learning curve. And Fangio, I mean, we've met Fangio at like the Ravens Niners Super Bowl week, and I tried to interview him, and he was alone at one of those little circular tables.
How'd
this is
go?
A good chance to talk. Very did not want me there with him. Very, I mean, it's just sort of like a straight to the point,
irascible,
ornery. Yeah, but I think we felt that with his head coach Rain, but he basically
kind of like the grandfather, like most grandfathers are kind of in this mode where they're just like, just leave me alone. Like I've been in this game called life for too long to be dealing with you.
Let me sit in my rocking chair.
Still, just get off my porch. Right. I don't know if you guys had like the nice grandfather.
Mine were very nice.
That was like loving. It was like, hey, let's go fishing or whatever. It's like, no, my grandfather's like, no, I already had children and we are moving forward. There are no reverse gears in this tank. And that's who I am. Well, so Vic might be that.
He grew up in a coal mine too, or coal mine city too.
Deep coal within city. A coal mine.
Yeah. Sure. Well, that would do it. But Vic Fangio, basically, when they were pinging him about that, like all these little reporters, he was like, well, it should be there already. These guys should know it. So it's already like coordinator. Whenever this starts to happen, I wonder. Just like
stern grandfather move.
I know this sounds like I'm taking a wipeout. I kind of don't think it's going to be. I had this like spidey sense about it, and I just want to see how Miami responds. There's no reason they shouldn't take care of business. It's down in like super hot
Miami,
South Beach, probably like 142 degrees. Not good for the Giants and their terrible offensive line that can barely move in temperate weather.
Yeah, maybe the Dolphins get back Jalen Phillips in this game. I mean, the lines makers are expecting a blowout. Dolphins favored by 11. I don't know if that's enough for me. Oh, I think I'd go more than that. Mm. Maybe they get back Jalen Phillips, who's by far their best pass rusher and has been out a few weeks, and that's a factor, but I don't see a very well coordinated defense. I mean, I see a lot of guys.
Right. Dolphins?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Emmanuel Ogba, who was a great player for a few years in the old scheme, that's barely playing. And some guys like Bradley Chubb, who make a lot of money, and he's been okay, but not, you know, Xavien Howard, one of the higher paid cornerbacks in the league, certainly not playing well. The secondary is attackable. I don't know if that's going to show up this week. Especially because the Giants have a new injuries on the offensive line. As bad as it was against Seattle, it's like you lost your center like right off the bat. That's a hard thing to deal with. And maybe you get back Andrew Thomas. Sounds like you get back Saquon Barkley this week, and the Dolphins won't get back Teron Armstead. So there's a lot of injuries here. But then it's like all this mess we're talking about, and then you have Tua Tagovailoa against this Giants defense and these rookie cornerbacks. And you put the over-under at about, 36 on Dolphins points, I would say.
This smells like another 50-burger. Yeah. I think this is going to happen.
Then I'm getting what Zumwalt said we wanted.
It could be like 50 to 30, though, maybe.
Yeah, it's possible that Jones gets unlocked a little bit if he gets a little bit of help. But, yeah, I think they're going to go up and down the field. This feels like end of first quarter and the Giants are down 17-0 or something. So.
I can't get into it. I hear you, but every time we think that, not every time, but this is like how I felt about the Cardinals coming in the season. And the Giants have already showed us they're largely inept, but it's like, I don't know. Weird things can happen. That said, like, your whole defense is based around high pressure rate and blitzing the quarterback, and they're just not very good at that.
I mean, the Giants have played 4 games, right? And in 7 of those 8 halves, they haven't even played. Like, they've been absolutely terrible.
That's the issue here.
That's a tough.
And it's why it makes your brain hurt because, you know, again, they their whole thing last year was that they were maximizing their talent and well-coached. And this year, it seems like the exact opposite. Football is weird.
We should be able to change their monikers, their nicknames, when they don't play up to, like, Giants should be switched to something else until they get back to what they were named as back in the old days when they were
gritty. How about Little Giants? That was a movie.
A Rick Moranis vehicle. Okay, let's move on. I am on the clock once more. Let's hit up the other New York team, Jets at Broncos. I want to start with a public apology. And I'm not alone. And even the great Joe Namath owes an apology to Zach Wilson. Hmm. You know who else owes Zach Wilson an apology? Rodney Harrison, that guy's
a jackass. Why did he need to do that?
I don't know what is up with that guy.
There's one day to not do it. It's that day.
He assaults Chris Jones in a post-game interview, trying because Jones was paying Wilson a compliment for how he played against the Chiefs. And Harrison, I think he's a Patriot and all that. But, like, come on, dude. Let it go. Like, he kept on coming back. He's calling Zach Wilson garbage on the air. And sometimes I feel like, and I think it's a part of the, I get it. Listen, I understand. The Jets have gotten a lot of coverage this year, and Zach Wilson is annoying to some people, and you don't want to hear Zach Wilson getting praised because you've seen so much bad tape, and you're like, no, I'm not going to let you say he played well today because he stinks. Like, trust me, Jets fans get the frustration with Zach Wilson, but he's owed an apology because he really did, under immense, immense criticism, and just the idea that that was going to be, and I was wrong about it. Like, I thought that was going to be a the floor, hitting the floor, going through the floor into the middle core of Earth moment for the Jets franchise against Kansas City with freaking Taylor Swift there and everything. And yet they once again showed that there is a heart on this team and they do fight and they didn't win. So we're not handing out lollipops. And Zach Wilson did fumble that snap at midfield in a tie game late. So I can't say that all of a sudden I'm on board with Zach Wilson and the experience, but he deserves credit for bouncing back, playing at a high level for him in that game. And now we see what happens in Denver against the Broncos team. We don't need to say anything. They just cut Randy Gregory. We'll get to that in a second. Their defense is brutal, and the Jets are not going to put up 70. But how about Jets? And I know this is going to sound insane, but how about the Jets offense scores 3 touchdowns in Denver this week? And how about this season's over? This season is over. Let's not get crazy here. This season is over for the Jets if they don't win in Denver. They've lost 3 straight. They're 1-3. They got the Eagles next week. So if you don't win this game, you're staring at 1-5. Aaron Rodgers, see you next year, okay? So find a way with this team. Breece Hall, the big report about him this week is they took off the training wheels. There's no more pitch count on him. Give Breece Hall the rock 20 times. Zach Wilson, try to build off that performance. And Nate Hackett, who is – escaped criticism for the most part. Well, it piled up on Wilson. So see what happens there, Nate. When you let him throw the ball and you don't let the defense just sit at the line of scrimmage, keep challenging the defense with downfield shots. What else do you have to lose?
No, I kind of love this for part two of what we saw from Zach Wilson a week ago. The Broncos, we get it. They were shredded on the ground by Miami. So there's Breece Hall. There's your opportunity. They have allowed the league high passer rating of 133.4, which is the second worst through 4 games by any defense this century. So there are doorways for Zach Wilson to have to build on last week. Like, if that was an aberration and we go back to what he is, like, all right, but that could have a little bit to do with Nathaniel Hackett. It's tough for me to give him credit, but we throw these revenge games around all over the place.
I just want to fly around like a butterfly.
Zach Wilson should want revenge on everyone.
Well, this
basically.
Is the revenge this game. Is it. This is revenge Nathaniel on Sean Hackett. Payton. Hackett versus Payton.
Hackett said, and this is the thing. This is what I take from Sean Payton. After all that nonsense and what Sean Payton's been through,
yeah.
But by the way, Sean Payton, like, who's going to talk about you next year when they take over the Broncos coaching job if this thing continues to go south? But he never recalled Hackett back. Never even called him.
Of course he didn't.
It just bothers me. And it's like Nathaniel Hackett, like, I'm not sure he's good at what he does.
Hi, my name's
Nathaniel
Hackett. But it's
like he has a revenge game.
And
this is a revenge game.
And by the way, this was the whole point back in the summer. Was Peyton wrong what he said about Hackett? Like, in terms of what Hackett did as the head coach? No. But the reason why you don't do it is because of the fraternity and everyone gets their ass kicked at different points in the league. And Sean Payton, if he fails here, and so far it's not looking so hot, of course you don't want the next guy that takes over to say, yeah, well, the last guy sucked at his job, so, you know, we're bringing some order to this place. Because it's a hard thing. Like, coaching, football is hard, and you don't want anybody stomping on your grave because everybody gets their comeuppance. Even Bill Belichick. Check out the Tom Curran conversation we had yesterday.
Everything you say, I completely agree with, and yet as a, you know, third party, I'm fine with it. Well, I like it. I like getting spicy. It's still just football. Well, it's not personal.
I like it too. But saying, I'm saying, right, like, in terms of
he's not
what
saying
happened.
Hackett's a bad human. And I like that. If Peyton had lost that Bears game, this would have been more of a delightful matchup yes. to me because we would be talking about, you know, the worst coaching job ever, and here the Broncos are at 0-4. It's somehow less exciting when they're both 1-3. It's certainly less exciting without Aaron Rodgers involved. I do want to see Zach Wilson build on it because he's had a couple professional efforts in his career. I went back to see if that was his highest PFF grade. You know, he had like in the mid-70s.
There was a Tennessee game last year.
Yeah, there was like a Jacksonville game, I think, as a rookie. He's had 3 or 4 games where it worked for that game. I think what he showed last week was a little more next level than what he had before. It was less about just the scheme and it was more about him. So, but do it again. And so then we'll start feeling even better. They have gotten some good pass rush out of Nick Benito and Jonathan Cooper for the Broncos. That helped turn it around. So that's a matchup to watch. And the one thing with Peyton is offensively, you know, I do want to give him some credit that I think it's working. They're a competent offense. They've improved quite a bit offensively. Russell Wilson has improved. He's not hurting them. And they remind me a lot of the post-Breeze Saints, which weren't great, but everyone would trot out those stats like Teddy Bridgewater and Jameis Winston and Taysom Hill. If you combine their win-loss record when they replaced Drew Brees or after Drew Brees, it was like 15-7. And like they're running that kind of offense, which isn't aesthetically appealing, but it's effective and it's efficient. So if they can get anything out of their defense, the Broncos could turn their season around. I like the Jets in this game, though. I'm taking them on NFL Game Day View.
Well, are
my
you?
Name on it.
What kind of
my
score?
Name
that, kind of score?
I like that.
Jets
score three
are,
touchdowns? Give me three touchdowns.
I don't remember what the score was. The Broncos are favored, though, by 1.5.
Because if
let's
they
go, let's ride, baby.
If
Ooh.
They score three touchdowns, I think the Jets defense will harass Russell Wilson enough into turnovers that will put them in a position to win the game. I don't trust it because I've been hurt too many times. But Jaleel McLaughlin, he was fast and shifty against the Bears. Look out, Javonte Williams, who
I think he's probably out this week.
Went out with a hip injury, I believe, in this game. That's something to keep an eye on, and I'm super annoyed I didn't pick him up in fantasy, but that's a whole other conversation. I think he could be a producer in that Denver offense.
It's like, I get it. We're talking about Zach Wilson left and right, but it's like the Jets' defensive line, go wreck the entire operation in Denver. They've been good.
And that's part of solid too. I said it last week, and you know, you don't just have to depend on that front four to create pressure. You could mix things up and confuse Russell Wilson and get after it. They did a great job against Patrick Mahomes, who was a lost pup, as was Josh Allen in week one. So those are arguably the two best quarterbacks in the league in the first 4 weeks that got scrambled by the Jets. They should be able to do some things to get Russell Wilson to make mistakes. Win, you play to win the game, as Herm Edwards once said. Win this game. I am going to be upset on Sunday night. The people that like when I'm upset, yes, you'll be very happy. If we can't find a way to win this week, because it's a gotta have it game. All right, up next.
That's all the more reason for me to root.
A little ominous for the rest of the cast here, including the people behind the glass.
It's largely, I hope I internalize the pain. It will creep out here and there.
I think we want you to feel that pain.
Yeah.
We've been around each other. There's no internalizing possible for any of us. It's like we feel the energy.
Yeah.
We're all friends.
How about it would be so crazy for a little positive energy?
Yeah.
I would
enjoy it. Been doing this 10 years, this show, a little positive green energy emanating on a Sunday night.
It's not the crazy thing to ask after.
You can let me know what you think about, you know, Matt Ryan in the booth after this game, too.
I'm looking forward to that. All right. Mark, you're up.
Me.
I forgot your name just now. I was looking at Emma. Cool. And I was like, Mike? Do I work with Mike Sessler?
Yeah, whenever someone like just blanks my name, it quickly goes to Matt or Mike.
Anyway, Matt Sessler, you're up.
Or Matilda. Let's see. Tennessee at Indianapolis.
Maggie Sessler.
You jerk.
That's good.
No, I used to get Marcy.
Marcy.
I don't like that. I mean, just because it's a playoff M-A-R-C. So.
Marcy Sessler is a receptionist. She's cheery. She's Zaftig. And build, but everybody loves it.
That's not me, though.
That's Marcy Sessler.
Okay, but like
in Minnesota.
In a parallel universe.
We're definitely getting
That's my body.
We're definitely getting a Photoshop of Marcy from some...
Don't eat it. Why did I open that door? All right. Here, I'll open this door. Tennessee at Indianapolis. What are they still doing hanging out down here?
What a value. It's rare that your fourth pick is way, way better than your first pick. So
I think I just got... Puka Nacua right here.
I just watched an old Seinfeld episode it was one of the greatest ones ever, Even Steve and Jerry. Like, everything works out for Jerry.
Yeah.
And in the episode, George gets the job at the Yankees and he moves out of his parents' house, and then Elaine loses her job and gets kicked out of her apartment, and Jerry's right in the middle and he's like, I came out even. You're up.
Am I Jerry in this equation?
You're even Steven. You're Jerry.
But I'm also a Zaftig receptionist in the middle of the country all of a sudden.
In an alternate universe.
All right.
Yeah.
Tennessee at the Colts. We'll get back to the game here. Jonathan Taylor, maybe we might see him. He's healthy. He said he's ready to go. I don't know.
Do we have sound? I'd like to hear from JT.
Yeah, let's.
Who, you know, obviously wanted out this summer and then showed up with the team at the opening of his practice window. And now he might be part of a very exciting offense. Jonathan Taylor spoke to the media for the first time on Thursday.
I'm here right now, and my number one thing is to take care of my teammates. A lot of people worry about what I want.
I like this.
It doesn't matter what necessarily I want. What matters is what this team needs, what this team wants, what this city wants, and what this city needs.
Yeah.
And what this city needs is a championship.
Hell
and while I'm here, That's what I'm going to work my tail off to do. That's what I work my tail off to get the opportunity to do. You know, I think when you've been out for a while, you start looking at it and you say, man, when you have that opportunity, and I never took it for granted, but even when it's taken away, you still are like, man, that was a great opportunity, and I can't wait to have another opportunity. So, like I said, I never took it for granted at all. So, you know, help comes first.
Like, the one thing you hear about Jonathan Taylor from everyone is, like, incredible teammate, like, a rock in the locker room, like, the guy they all kind of look to, especially when you don't have a quarterback to look to in years past. And so I think all that is 100% who he is, and it's true. It's also like if you hold out a couple more weeks, you don't become a free agent after the season. So it's like the axis of like you are and what you need to do with your career.
I don't want to put too much into it, and check out the show, which is on Fast Television and YouTube. But that looked like a guy that is come to terms with his situation.
Yeah. He's ready to
sucks.
Go.
Yeah.
But he's optimistic and excited to play football, and there's no sulking there. And I think, you know, if he's healthy, I'm telling you, look out. If this offense has 2021 Jonathan Taylor, hello.
Yeah, I'm with you, because it's like, I think a year ago, like, Jonathan Taylor probably for business reasons would return, but it's like return to a hot mess that was getting uglier by the week. Now it's like you're in the Shane Steichen offense where people are being used well. Zach Moss, I think part of the reason Zach Moss succeeded is this offense and the way it's put together. That said, the Colts still ranked 27th in the league of running back carries of 5+ yards. Jonathan Taylor gives you that. And it's like, that kind of threw me, because I feel like Zach Moss had done a nice job over the last couple of weeks. I think he had 280 yards in 3 games. He's been good. But then you just put in the quarterback situation, and it's like, I kind of don't care about the stats on Anthony Richardson. 32nd in the league in completion percentage. That can change. We've seen that change with Josh Allen, other quarterbacks as well. It's kind of hard to change it. Like, I don't know if that's who he is.
It's also a small sample size.
He
has like a 20 for 28 day. He's probably middle of the pack.
Played 2.5 games.
Sure. But I guess like that stands out in today's NFL.
Right, but yards per attempt, I would guess he's, you know, middle of the pack.
Because that's the point.
More
he
helpful.
Leads the league in explosive plays. And on the ground and through the air. So it's like...
Wait, the whole league in 2.5 games?
12+ runs of 12+ yards and passes of 20+ carries. Leading the league in that type of...
A little more than half the games played, he leads that stat. That is eye-opening.
I totally agree. Missed an entire game at one point. But that's... We're talking about a quarterback running those plays. There aren't that many quarterbacks doing that.
Yep.
And they aren't also...
Well, not that long.
Not that much. So it's like... Anthony Richardson is like this completely watchable. He's not a project. Like, I know that's sort of what it was billed at, but that's not what I see, because what he can do is the best anyone's on the field. And like, I like the Colts defensive line. I think DeForest Buckner, I don't know what kind of car he would fit in if he drove. He's just a massive. There's a lot to like. There's some injuries on both sides of the ball.
A Toyota Highlander. What a automobile.
Is that a diminutive car? Is that why you're saying that? I don't even know.
That's a sponsor. Oh. And you should be intimately familiar.
Well, you fit him in any way you can into that vehicle then.
Maybe hums in
Grover
the open
Stewart,
road.
You throw him in one of those next
Yeah.
Week. They look pretty good. Although last week, the Rams did a good job. You mentioned Josh Allen. To me, that is the best comp for Richardson in almost every way. And you think about Josh Allen as a rookie, and I do think there are certain aspects Richardson is a little ahead of him. Maybe not in the accuracy. That's going to be up and down, but... He's already sliding a lot. I like that. Like, Josh Allen just slid for the first time and got like a quarter for
it. He prefers to jump over 6'3 linebackers when possible.
Well, Sean McDermott said he had a little something. Like, he was getting something from Sean McDermott, a little extra bonus or something. Okay. It was like an
ice
cream
cone. Is that legal? Is that street
legal?
It was just,
I don't think it was anything that was going to change Josh Allen's life. They were having fun. But also, like, the pocket movement. Like, I think... He is a little more developed than we expected. He's going up against a Titans defense, which is good up front. We know that Jeffrey Simmons is playing great. Tyrann Tart might be out for this game. I have noticed that the Titans offensive line, year after year, the very worst in the league. Mm. This year, I think the goal is like, let's shuffle the deck. Let's hope to get better to average. And maybe they are. They opened up some holes last week. Some of their metrics.
What do you mean by shuffle the deck? They move some guys around?
No, just new players.
Lots of guys in.
Skaronski hasn't been healthy.
Some were taken behind the building.
Yeah, Andre Dillard hasn't really been great. But if you look at their pass block win rate, they're not great. It's like 23rd, 21st. But it had been like a hard 30, 32, 30, you know, and all the PFF and the win rates. And now it's like, okay, maybe you're not going to be embarrassing. And then that gives Ryan Tannehill a chance.
And also Skoronski.
They're kind of a boring team, though. They're like Patriots South in a not a good way.
Skoronski practiced this week, so or on Wednesday.
They're
so
better, though, I think.
They are juicier than the Patriots.
Yeah, I think they're a better team, but it just feels like, oh, this team's still around in the same way? Oh, that's surprising. You know how teams change so fast? This team hasn't so much.
This could be a problem, Mark. This could be a close game.
Titans are favored by two on
the road. I don't know where the narrative's coming from because I can't control that. I think the thing is when you go try to pick a blowout, it goes into overtime. I've learned that. There is no way
it does have that way.
I have not covered the Falcons on a Sunday or the Dolphins on a Sunday. That is a large reason why I picked that.
I like to mix it up too.
Yeah, I don't want the same. I've had the Colts like four times though. So, you know, backed right into it.
Beautiful. All right. Greg, you're up.
All right. I'm going to take the Bengals at the Cardinals. Bengals are favored by 2.5 in this game. Feels generous. I'm taking the Cardinals to win this game. I just think you got to trust.
That is generous, that spread.
You got to trust what you see at some point.
Yeah.
And yeah, Cincinnati could suddenly get a better version of Joe Burrow. But to this point, I'm just going to look, and this is live, DVOA on the season. The Cardinals are 16th. That sounds about right. They've looked like an average team. The Bengals are much lower on that list. Got to keep scrolling. 26th. And it's not just because of Joe Burrow. The defense is 25th. I talked about pass block win rate just with the Titans. You know who's second to last in that stat right now? The Cincinnati Bengals.
Uday.
So you've got a bad offensive line. We've talked the quarterback to death with Burrow. And the defense is quite blah. You've scored 3 touchdowns. We're entering week 5. And you've given up over 170 rushing yards in 3 out of 4 games. And I look at this Cardinals team and the way Josh Dobbs is running and the way Connor's running and the scheme. And I think if they can be close in this game, they should be able to run the ball. Maybe the Bengals step up again. They had one great game against LA, but other than that, their defense has been blah. And that's why I think to this point in the season, the Cardinals have been a little better team. And this might be lights out if you lose and you're the Bengals in this one. This is a must-win type of game.
That's why I think they'll win.
I know, but wouldn't that have the Bengals worked last week, too? Yeah. I don't know.
But this is like the perfect matchup of
the
like...
The week before.
This is the perfect matchup of like team we're struggling to believe is problematic on all sorts of fronts and team we're struggling to believe is real on all sorts of fronts. But I just want to read a couple quick things about this Bengals offense to add to what you said, Greg. They have 4 completions of 20 or more yards. Last year, over 4 games. Over 16 games last year, they had that game canceled. 53. They aren't that same offense. Burrow is 2 of 22 throwing the ball more than 15 yards. He hit 50% a year ago. He is obviously throwing shorter, quick release passes, but it's not working. None of their screen passes this year have gained more than 10 yards. Mm. They have fewer drives of 25-plus yards than Miami has plays of 25-plus yards. 23% of Burrow's on-target throws have been dropped. So it is Burrow, and there's certain things he can't do. We can see that visually. But it is the environment. It's the people around him. So Ja'Marr Chase getting all upset and all this stuff. It's like there are all sorts of things happening here.
Also, the opponents are a part of this, too. It's been a tough schedule out of the gate for them. They have at Cleveland, Ravens, Rams, which they won that game but scored 19 and not a great defense, but, you know, still. At Tennessee, which is a tough draw. Mm-hmm. I'm already, as a Bengals fan, panicking about the season because in part because the expectations are so high and now you're 1-3. But, like, Arizona, I know they're on some level a good story so far that they've been competitive. But if Cincinnati has anything in them in terms of, and Burrow's quoted this week, we need a win for morale, and I believe in the power of Burrow as a leader, and I think I really do feel.
Is he gonna do it?
I feel very, very. What is it again?
The Bengals are favored by 1.5, 2.5.
I feel very strongly that Cincinnati figures out a way to get it done. Now I don't know, is T. Higgins playing in this game? That's not a good situation.
I think he is gonna. I heard he's gonna try to grit it through with a broken rib.
Despite being, you know, he's in a contract year, and that can go both ways. Like, you want to save yourself, but he also wants some numbers, and he's struggling right now, and I think he wants to put up some numbers.
And it's a good matchup for him. It's a test, obviously, also for Zach Taylor, who's gotten some criticism here about the offensive game plan. They need to figure something out, and I think you're going to see a team, even if maybe I don't believe in them because of the way the setup is. I think you're going to see them come to life a little bit, score some points, and win this game.
I agree with you, and I think it's because of the matchup. Like, as good a story as the Jonathan Gannon's been, his defense has been quite mediocre. They're 30th in DVOA. There's one play caller, though, in this game that I do trust to, like, make the most out of what he's got. It's not Zach Taylor.
Captain Lou.
It's Drew Pensing.
Oh.
It's Drew Pensing.
Okay.
Let's get ready for some head coaching interviews, Drew Pensing. I just think a guy that has Jacoby Brissett as a top 10 EPA per play guy, and then the next year takes Josh Dobbs, and he's playing really well. And they're 7th in DVOA right now offensively. Michael Wilson and Marquise Brown are both on pace for 1,000 yards. Like, Drew Pensing, what a guy.
So did you – okay, so
– is that how you say it?
That's P-E-T-Z-I-N-G, Petzing, I would say.
Petzing, say I see
Cleveland's QB coach from a year ago.
I totally messed up. I guess you can't give him all the credit for the Browns last year. He was just a QB coach. So I'm connecting a few too many dots, but he's having a nice start to his career as a
first-time play caller. He's doing well. I mean, I would say this. Like, they can run the ball. That's going to – Cincinnati's going to have to deal with that. Like, the Cards right now have more rushing yards per game than the Cowboys, Bills, Chiefs, Lions, and Falcons.
If I didn't feel so hot about the lock of the Bills and the fact that you guys are on the lock as well, I would absolutely move to Cincinnati and put my belief in Burrow.
It would be gutsy.
But can't do it because it's just too good a lock this week. And that is the kiss of death. The Jacksonville Jaguars will win in London.
Yeah,
that was way too confident.
Right.
Yeah. It's over. But that gives Greg his first loss, so I would actually take that. Let's go, Jax.
Yeah, it's kind of pointless when we're all on the same lock, but...
No, it's just a week where you carry it forward. I was thinking about this driving down. It's like, it feels a little showman-free.
You're 2-2, right?
Yeah, but I can't, like, I can't think...
Still early.
I only think about myself, my own locker room, and my own organization.
We have the standings so far? Yeah, we've been looking for this.
Wait
a little check-in at the quarter poll. Greg off to a 4-0
How about a
start.
Spell check there, clowns?
Wait, well, oh no.
Still doing this?
We got a K?
We still doing this?
We got a K on Sessler? On Mark?
Clown show.
Greg, you're off to a 4-0 start. The Zuzzer, God, 1-point beat in week one with the Chiefs, and now I'm 3-1.
Hold on, so it's not alphabetical. Why am I below the Wesley brothers?
Right, so, yeah, the Wesley, good job by Phil taking over,
Wes and Mark,
such easy fodder.
Too easy. It's
too easy.
It's actually not right. And I personally condone it.
I know you do.
Shame on everyone behind.
If not, instigate it or trigger it.
All right, let's get this last draft.
Never do such a thing. All right, one more.
I wanted to avoid this game, and now I got the worst of all scenarios. I got Saints at Patriots. Patriots favored by 1 as my backup early game.
Woof.
This game's not going to have any offense. I like the Saints' defense on balance. They eventually capitulated last week, but their offense is maybe more brutal to watch than the Patriots. New England's coming off a week where they lost potentially their best two players for the season, Matthew Judon and Christian Gonzalez. Judon is maybe hoping to return late in the season from a torn biceps, which sometimes is possible. Gonzalez.
For what reason?
It sounds like is out
He'll
for the
come
year.
Back in week 18 and knock the Jets out of the playoffs. That's my prediction.
Look, I don't think the Patriots have any chance. We went over them a lot this week with Tom Curran. This is a brutal schedule that they have all season. The next 2 weeks are the softest part. They're home for New Orleans at Las Vegas. They'll have a chance to win each of those games. They could lose both. They could win both. I don't know, and I don't think it's going to matter in the long run. It's like, how do they both respond to complete no-shows? Because Patriots got a lot of attention here, but in New Orleans, that loss against the Bucs was a like, oh my God, what have we done? Is Derek Carr any better than Andy Dalton? Some people might disagree. It's like, okay, he's hurt. I don't know. He's throwing the ball 60 yards down the field. He's doing things. Maybe they adjusted the offense. Is there play caller Pete Carmichael really ready for this job? Like, is he creative enough? We have a lot of talent in New Orleans. They played a better offensive line, and you can't score a touchdown on Todd Bowles.
Come on now.
You put up 9 points.
But what about the Bulls' offense? You can't go both ways on that one.
Well, I get it. But the Bucks' defense, well coached. I'm not going to say they're a top five unit or anything. So how do both of these teams respond after really embarrassing week fours? And because it's going to be dark in one of these.
It was very, just the whole, the vibe at the Superdome, which is one of the more fun places to watch a football game. Just very a dead zone.
I mean, Derek Carr taking like an immediate check down on a third and nine when you're down two scores.
Yeah,
but here's the thing. He took some big hits. He held the ball forever in that game. I saw no evidence of his injury in particular. And if he's out there, you have to evaluate what's out there. And sometimes he was perfectly protected. And he's just, oh, let's get another 3 yards to Kamara on third and nine.
The Kamara
when
thing
we need
hilarious.
When we need a touchdown.
Yeah, but I mean.
So the decision-making was terrible out of Carr. He played
but a lot of those checkdowns could be the result, even if you don't see him wincing, of a different type of.
So that's fine. So I'd even accept, like, let's say that he will find out down the road that he was injured in that game or played through pain.
Well, we know he did.
Okay, but what about the other weeks? Like, right. he's just not.
He's fine.
I know there's
but did
like,
you see Jameis Winston's moonball when he came
into
this game?
But I'm not.
That's
but,
what you're signing up
no,
for?
No, I'm not.
I want to read this.
I'm not comparing him to Jameis Winston. Yeah. Here's like, they paid a ton of money to Derek Carr, and I feel like I always said it's going to be frustrating, and it's very frustrating.
Okay, so here's their totals on offense this season. 16, 20, 10, and 9. Oh, well, they must have played the most brutal like defensive schedule in the
what
league.
What do they got?
No, it's Titans, good defense, not amazing. Panthers, Packers, Bucks. I mean, they're one of the worst offenses in the league. I don't know exactly why or how, but that's just a fact.
Yeah, they seem directionless.
And now
funny.
They got to play the Patriots, who are down a few players, but coming off a loss, I don't think they're going to suddenly start scoring. I'm expecting this game to be about 12 to 11.
I do think, though, that like, yeah, I'm with you. It should be Orleans versus England and take the new out of both because they feel old and stale to me.
This is good.
But
did you pre-write that?
You can shut it down. You can close the laptop. You're done, Mark.
I don't want to pat myself on the back, but I have stopped looking at his computer
once I got redundant, the new, the whole business. We get it. You came from another part of the earth. Have a nice time. But how about, like, I do like their defense.
It's a really good defense.
They can absolutely rattle an unwatchable Patriots offense. Brian Brzee kicked people's butts last week. I thought the Saints DBs, they got fried on a couple plays, but that's the thing you can rely on. And, I mean,
this, Lattimore and Alante Taylor are as good as it gets for a cornerback duo.
Crazy PFF stat on Mac Jones last week, and we know that game was a Black Mirror scenario for the whole team, but turnover-worthy plays on 21% of his snaps versus Dallas. I don't recall that from a quarterback that didn't come in for like 10 snaps or 8 snaps and then threw two picks.
It was bad. It was bad. And I love, you know, Curran just, guess what? Tom Curran. Yeah, Belichick does think you're a dink now because he was ethering the Patriots on our show yesterday.
You should see him on the local broadcast.
It's
even more.
All right. Good stuff. Do you guys want to see, just out of curiosity, what Drew Petzing looks like? The Cardinals offense coordinator?
I've looked this up. Well, it was the Browns.
Check this out on Fast TV and on YouTube. There he is. Looks like Mike Garofalo's brother.
Yeah, you're right. Okay. Absolutely. Another Garofalo using a different man's last name.
Like a guy that really can handle himself in cornhole. That's what Drew Petzing looks like. If you can't see the show, we just described it.
Yeah, and check it out on YouTube. And check out our bonus app coming this week with Nick Shook, little QB Index talk. If you made it this far in a preview show, you're our kind of listener. You're gonna
If you fast forwarded to this, I hope that's not the case. But you could get here by that pathway.
Okay. Don't do that. All right. Thank you to everyone for always supporting our show. Yes, plenty more to come. NFL Plus, Thursday night recap coming up tonight. Bonus ep with Nicky Shook, and then the flagship show on Sunday. Till then, Dan Hansen signing off for Quiet Storm, the old boss, Eric Roberts behind the glass. Heed the call.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.